Rochester.
Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. Yes, we're different. This is Ethel Chadwick, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. I'm a nice Jewish girl who loves Yeshua the Messiah. Today, I have got such a treat for you. Live in the studio, you're going to get to hear Rabbi Ron Goldberg. Oh my gosh, we're going to talk a lot about what are some Jewish objections to believing in Jesus. It's going to be very inspiring. You're going to love it. And I've got some new music to share as well. Stay with me and I'll be right back. And that was the wonderful voice of Jonathan Sattel from his CD called Sattel Gallery. That was a Shabbat medley. Well, guess what? Corey Bell and Lev Shalom have a brand new CD out called Proclamation. And here's a song called Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Wish you the blessing of shalom.
Shalom. I love that word. You know, it means hello, it means goodbye, and it means peace. Kind of like aloha. And I'm told that the Jewish people living in Hawaii say Shaloha. Again, that was Corey Bell and Lev Shalow from their new CD, Proclamation. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. This radio program is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We're a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles. We meet on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. at 1326 North Winton Road. And while you're at Shema Yisrael, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. It's open after our services every Saturday, and also Tuesdays from 2 to 6, Wednesdays from 11 to 3. Again, it's located right at Shema Yisrael, 1326 North Winton Road. It's a great place to go for CDs and prayer shawls, all kinds of shofars, books about sharing Messiah, cards, and jewelry. And if you happen to be listening to this program and you live closer to Lockport, Medina, or Buffalo, check out Congregation Berth HaDashah. They're at their new location, 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst, and their services are every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Well, Misha Goetz, who's the daughter of Marty Goetz, has a brand new CD. She's only 21 years old and such a voice. This is her new CD, Weight of Glory, and this is called The Righteous One.
One thing I desire, this one thing I seek, to dwell within your house, beholding you alone, to wait upon. Sit here at your feet to see your glory fall. Oh. So hear me when I cry, answer when I call, speak and I will know I am not alone, for you have been my help, and you have been my hope. You will be my song. Behold, our God is here. He is the righteous one. He'll come to us and defend all who draw near. He is the righteous one, the righteous one.
Bagels and Blessings is also sponsored by Pharaoh's Harem Salon and Spa. Be sure to contact them in Henrietta at 359-2249 and in Fairport at 223-5850. Good place to get your hair done, a pedicure, manicure, or a massage.
To
Misha Getz, daughter of Marty Getz. That girl's got some pipes on her. Praise the Lord. Arise, lift up your eyes. He is the righteous one. Yeah. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Let's listen to Sue Samuel from her CD Promises. Awake, Zion! Oh, yeah, I'm awake all right. I had two cups of coffee. Yeah, that was Sue Samuel. Well, you know, when you hear this kind of music, you just want to jump up and dance around. And sometimes when you do that, you hear a little snap, crackle, and pop, you know, your hips, knees, whatever. If that happens, never fear. Just go right to Odell Chiropractic.
Your back is a delicate matter. Everyday things can affect it.
This is the last time I'm picking your toys up off the floor. Oh boy, it just went out.
Major injuries can leave you in bed for days.
Look out!
It's called vertebral subluxation. It's what happens when your back is thrown out of its correct alignment. It causes major pains and in time may damage internal functions. That's why the first time you visit Odell Family Chiropractic, they will determine if x-rays of your spine are needed to pinpoint the exact problem. If they find that they can help you, they'll develop a care plan to allow the spine to achieve the correct position and strengthen it so that it will want to stay strong. They'll prove it to you. During your care with them, they'll show you x-rays of the progression your spine is making while moving into its correct alignment. Visit any of the 4 Odell Family Chiropractic locations today to receive a free preventative health evaluation. Call 671-9210. That's 671-9210. Say goodbye to back pain permanently.
This is Joel Chernoff, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Joel Chernoff from the CD Come Dance With Me. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, let me just mention one more sponsor. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. You know, it's been pretty hot out there. You need your air conditioning to work really well. This is the best one in town. Call these guys. They are believers. They're so good. 889-7840. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. Tell them Ethel sent you. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. Here's Misha Getz with her daddy, Marty Getz. This is so beautiful. This is the Aaronic Benediction from her new CD, Weight of Glory.
And keep you. and keep you. May his grace and his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, and give you peace.
That was beautiful, Misha Getz, from her new CD, Weight of Glory. And now, here's Joel Chernoff with a way you can be a blessing to Israel.
And you wanna?
Hallelujah.
Shalom, Joel Chernoff here for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Did you know that God promised in Genesis 22:18 that through Israel, all of the nations would be blessed? Isn't the Bible a wonderful blessing? From it, we receive comfort, wisdom, and a personal relationship with Him. Did you also know the Bible is a Jewish book? In Romans 3, Paul the Apostle reminds us the Jewish people were entrusted with the oracles of God. Today, as you reap the many blessings of this priceless gift, remember to thank God for and pray for the Jewish people. This is Joel Chernoff for the Restoration of Israel Minute. Shalom.
Today, over 40% of Israelis live in poverty. We have an opportunity to return the blessing God has given us through Israel by becoming a part of God's prophesied restoration of Israel. To learn more, go to roiminute.com. That's roiminute.com.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shema Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme, 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 gimme bagels tonight.
Hey, guess what? I've got a coupon for bagels, and you could win it. Would you like to win a coupon for bagels? Hey, guys. Be the first caller at 222-2990. If you haven't won anything in the last 30 days, who said the day was coming when God would make a new covenant with Israel by putting his law in their inward parts? Who said it? Who said that? 222-2990. Who said the day was coming when God would make a new covenant, a Brith Hadashah, with Israel? by putting his law in their inward parts. Who said it? Who said that? 585-222-2990, and you can win a coupon for bagels. Such a deal. I want to give away that coupon for bagels. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Call now, 585-222-2990. 585-222-2990. You can get a coupon for bagels. You can either from Bagel Land in 12 Corners or from Soho Bagel Cafe in Stonebridge Plaza. Who said the day was coming when God would make a new covenant with Israel by putting his law in their inward parts? Who said it? Who said it? 585-222-2990. Call now. Hurry up. I think we'll just go ahead and have me start my interview with Messianic Rabbi Ron Goldberg. You can still call. You won't have to go on the air. Does that make you feel better? You won't have to go on the air, but you can still call 222-2990 and answer the question, who said the day was coming when God would make a new covenant with the house of Israel by putting his law in their inward parts? If you can answer that question, you get the coupon for bagels. But right now, I want to welcome a dear friend, one of my favorite guests on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom, Rabbi Ron.
Shalom, Ethel. Thanks for having me back.
You're welcome. I could just have you on Bagels and Blessings like every week if I had my way.
Oh, that would be fun.
Oh, it would. It would. I've had you on a couple of times, and for those of you that send me an email, bagelsandblessings@gmail.com, I can send you one of my earlier shows where Rabbi Ron gives his complete testimony. We're not going to go into his whole testimony today. What I thought, though, was why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about where you came from and where you are in terms of, you know, Rochester, Binghamton, Tampa. Like, tell us a little bit about your spiel.
My spiel, I was in Rochester in the mid and the end of the 1980s, working at Shema Yisrael as a youth rabbi. And now it's nice to see some of those teens are rabbis themselves, Messianic rabbis.
Go figure.
How did that happen? And so I was doing that here in Rochester, and then I was doing college ministry, and I had adults in Binghamton. I was out at the university and reaching the students there, and then adults said, we want a congregation. And I said, that's nice, but I just work with young people. But God said, hang on to those names and phone numbers. And so I obeyed, and eventually God said, pull them out. You've got a few of them now. We got together. I called them, and a few of us met. Next thing you know, we started a Messianic congregation in Binghamton, New York. And after a little season there, people, especially Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, said, Ron, you know, this is okay, but God wants you to serve in outreach and assisting in teaching ministry and then doing outreach, so you need to go somewhere. And I said, well, that's nice, but the Messianic Jewish movement's not too many congregations even have full-time pay for rabbis. So what am I going to do as an assistant or something else? So I said, well, I'll wait and see. And 4 years ago at Messiah Conference, God redirected me. And as I was leaving, I bumped into Rabbi Steve Weiler, who I had met earlier from Philadelphia, found out now he's in Tampa, and he wants someone to come work with college students and teach in the community. I said, wow. And he goes, we don't have any money for that, but let's pray and see what God might do.
That had your name all over it.
It did. And so we prayed. And a few weeks later, we went out to meet him and the leadership. And a few weeks after that, they said, come, we'll work this money situation out to cover your needs so you could support your family, part missionary, etc. So we moved out there, started doing some college ministry at USF. We have a full-time group there. Interfaith group at the University of Tampa brought me out. Interfaith group, which means I was speaking alongside a Muslim imam and an Indian man raised Hindu and now a Unitarian Universalist. And I got to share the stage and share the scriptures alongside them.
Praise God. So you schlepped your wife and your five kids. He's got five adorable, gorgeous kids. I just want to say that.
We arrange marriages.
Oh.
We believe God arranged my marriage with my wife, Vino, and so we're waiting for God. My wife has told my kids, you will not be dating. God will arrange your marriage.
Bagelsandblessings at gmail.com if you want to be matched up to Ron Goldberg's children.
Who's listening today?
One wonders. So tell me a little bit more about what you've been doing in Tampa. Sounds so exciting. It's just, it's right up your alley. It's so perfect for you.
It is. And so it's been nice there. I've had that opportunity at the University of Tampa to just share from the Bible with groups of unbelievers. And then at the University of Tampa, we were able to start a Messianic Jewish group actually on campus, Ner Tamid, Hebrew for eternal light, the light that hangs above the Torah ark in every synagogue everywhere around the world. And so we've been out there for a few years. We've had special events. And when we've had special events, 60 to 80 students would come out. We've had small group weekly Bible studies, what is Messianic Judaism? And then we've been able to have a table outside the student center. And every week in the past, I had my little sign, Be More Jewish, Believe in Jesus.
Wow, I'm sure that inspires a lot of discussion.
Oh, that certainly did. The looks that came across their face. And I just looked at them and said, gee, it looks like something's got your attention and you might have a question. Is that true?
Wow. So, Rabbi Ron, what do you say to people that ask you, what are you trying to do, convert all the Jews and make them not Jewish anymore? What do you say to that?
I'm not interested in converting Jews. I want us all to return, Shuva. And scripture is all throughout the Jewish Bible. God keeps the prophets, through the prophets, keep saying, Shuva Yisrael, return Israel. You've gone a different way. Remember at Mount Sinai, we entered into marriage. I was your husband. But you've run away from me now. You've gone away. Come back. And so we're sharing the same message that Jeremiah or Isaiah and all the other Jewish prophets have been sharing all throughout history. Come back to God. It's not just a social community, place to have bagels and enjoy the blessings like bagels and potato pancakes. There's more to being Jewish than eating bagels. That's a good part, but there's more than that.
Hint, hint. He might have just given you the answer. You know, the number here is 222-2990. And the phone lines are open. I think you might even have some questions for Rabbi Ron. And feel free to call into the program and ask questions. What do you say to people that say, how in the world can you be Jewish and a believer in Jesus? Why don't you just be either Jewish or Christian? I've heard some Jewish people say that. Like, why don't you just be one or the other? What is this business of being both at the same time?
Yeah, that's a popular question that people like to ask. And I can remember, if you get that, the time I was here in the past, sharing my story, I got invited to a Bible study, and there was a movie, Peter and Paul, on TV. And I went ahead and I listened to watch this movie. And when it was over, this family asked me, what do you think? And I said, Yeshua, Jesus. He said he was the Jewish Messiah, not a Catholic God. And this Catholic woman looked at me and said, that's right, he's not a Catholic God, not a Christian God. He is the Jewish Messiah. When he was crucified, killed at Calvary, it said above his head, King of the Jews. It didn't say Christian God or anything like that. And then I said, and Peter, Paul, all these other guys, they're all Jews. There's no churches, there's no Christmas, no Easter. They're Jews going to the synagogue on Shabbat, celebrating Passover, Hanukkah, Sukkot. And this Catholic woman looked at me and she said, Ron, why would a Jew stop being Jewish to follow a Jewish Messiah?
Hello.
So that's the answer to the question. You don't have to become a Christian. Why would I need to stop being Jewish, become something else to believe in the Jewish Messiah? God told us we should follow the Jewish Messiah. And so therefore, it's a Jewish thing to follow the Jewish Messiah.
Makes sense to me. I'm telling you. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And I have the wonderful privilege of having live in the studio Messianic Rabbi Ron Goldberg. And we're talking about some really cool stuff here. So if you want to call call in and get in on this conversation. The number here is 585-222-2990. Rabbi Ron, another thing that I've often heard is someone will say, well, we Jews don't need a middleman. Why do we need to go through Yeshua? Why do we need to go through Jesus? We can just go straight to God. So what do you say to that?
I say we better read the Jewish Torah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you don't care about the Jewish Torah, then you can, you know, do what you want. But if you want to read the Jewish Torah, see what God said to the Jewish people, then there is a middleman. Originally, when Adam and Eve got into a little trouble, they sinned. They didn't become evil, wicked, horrible people. They disobeyed God. They missed the mark, didn't do what he asked. They had to have a sacrifice for their sins. And then eventually there were altars at places, then the tabernacle that moved, a place of worship that went with them. They were able to pack it up and go where they went. But then eventually, King David, our Jewish king, wanted a temple, a permanent home for God. And God said, all right, well, let your son Solomon do that. And they built it. But in the tabernacle and in the temple, they had priests. The Catholics, hey, where did they get that from? The priests, it came from Israel. Their first priests were Jewish. And so they were priests. And their job was to provide the offerings and the sacrifices to provide atonement for our sins when we missed the mark and did something that God didn't want us to do or didn't do what he asked us to do. And the priests represented us before God. And when they did that, we were reconciled and we were able to enter back into relationship with God. So we all need a priest.
So you mean Yeshua is our priest?
Yes.
He's our high priest.
He's the highest priest because he's better than the Levitical priest, because Levitical priests, just like the rest of us, eventually they got old, they retired, and even on top of that, eventually they died. Their physical bodies said enough. But Yeshua never died. He's God. And therefore, he's the highest priest of all because he can keep doing this job, never stops. And so he is our priest, just like the Levites, to represent us before God and to bring us back into relationship. And so that's what we're offering, advice and help from the Jewish Bible, how to be reconciled with God and to enjoy relationship with him, the best thing you could ever do.
You're really excited about this, aren't you?
Oh, it's good stuff.
Yeah. I can see it on your face.
Oh, yes.
His eyes are shining and sparkling. Wow. Now, you mentioned sin. I heard a dear Jewish woman talk to me earlier today about original sin, and she was saying that, you know, Jews aren't taught about original sin. And can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, we're all human, and there's a whole bunch of teaching to get into our connection with Adam and Eve. And they sinned, they disobeyed God, and it's like been transmitted down. But I remember reading the Everyman's Talmud. The Talmud, the Jewish teachings, volumes and volumes and volumes. You can't fit it on a shelf, but somebody made a little Everyman's Talmud, a short little soft-covered book, just to summarize some of the different teachings. And it talked about the evil inclination that's within us.
Oh.
And it's there in the Jewish teachings by the rabbis. It didn't say we're wicked, horrible people, that we're like Hitler or anything like that, but there's this inclination within all mankind that causes us to disobey God. And in the Jewish teaching, they sat there and decided, well, for some reason, when you become 13 and celebrate your bar mitzvah, then the good one overtakes the evil one. Well, I'm not certain. I don't know. We'll have to survey teenagers and see if we can find any truth to that statement. If all of a sudden when they hit 13, they miraculously turn into saints. So that'll be a great survey we can all do soon. But it talked about all of us, the rabbis used to teach that we had this inclination. So it's an inclination. It doesn't mean we're constantly doing bad, harming, hurting, whatever. But it's there within us so that we could disobey God.
Thank you, Rabbi Ron. It makes sense to me. Another question that I've often heard, somebody said we Jews traditionally don't really believe in hell. And that puzzles me because I have seen mentions of hell in the Old Testament, in, you know, the Tanakh, the Torah. And so what do you say to a Jewish person that says that?
There's the hell and going hand in hand with heaven, and that's a popular, those are the two most popular words used today, talk about heaven and hell. But when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, just even reading the Hebrew scriptures, the Tanakh, you will see different teachings about eternity. that even though our physical bodies at some point say, that's it, I'm done, I can't do any more, there's a spirit within us that continues to live. David, when his child died, he said that I will eventually see him. He knew that his son would live forever. Our spirits were made by God to be eternal, to live forever and ever into the future. God lived forever in the past as well as forever in the future. We've had a birthday and a date of conception, so we have a beginning, but our spirits have no end. We will go on forever. And I love the book of Daniel. It says we will rise, some to everlasting life, others to everlasting, to shame and contempt. And so different words, but it's the same concept. We will all rise. Our spirit will rise after our bodies physically die and give way. And then there's two possible destinies where our spirits will go after that. One, everlasting life. The other, shame and everlasting contempt. Heaven and hell in different names. So you could choose which name you like to call the two possible eternal destinies. But the Jewish prophet Daniel taught it. And if you look at other Jewish teachings, you'll see the rabbis taught it as well.
Absolutely. And what goes right in hand with that story is also in Job. Jews that say, well, we don't believe in Satan. And as I remember reading the book of Job in the very beginning, you know, Satan says to God, oh, you see that guy over there? You think he's so righteous? Well, let me tell you, let's see what happens to him when I take away his family and when I make him ill and all that. I mean, so, and it also talks about him, I think, is it Isaiah, where it talks about how he was once an angel who fell. So that is that's in the Jewish writings.
That's right. And especially in the book of Job, it uses the name Satan, adversary. So we have an adversary, whether you like it or not, whether you're willing to acknowledge or not, there is an adversary that somehow he has access to go before God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he has that ability to physically go in the presence of God. And in the book of Job, that's what I'm reading right now in my personal reading time. And he went and said, oh, he's got it so good. Of course he likes you. But if we just took away a few things, it'll be a different story. And so there you have it. He's an adversary. Someone who's against us, and he's going before God trying to harm us and hurt us. And that's why we need a priest. We need someone to stand on our behalf and to fight for us and to take care of us, because unfortunately we really do have an adversary who's trying to harm us and hurt us in the worst way possible for eternity.
We do. You know, Rabbi Ron, you and I and several others believe that the scriptures are the true inspired word of God. For those listening to the broadcast now or later on my podcast, for those people that don't accept Scripture as being the Word of God, for those people that just think it's a bunch of stories, fairy tales, whatever, there's another way we can reflect God's goodness, and that is by sharing something in our own lives. So I know I'm putting you on the spot, but if you had to speak to someone who didn't really believe the Bible was the inspired word of God, and you simply had to share your own story of how you know God is real because how he's blessed you or what he's done for you in your life, what would you say? Putting him on the spot, but I know he can do it. He's up for the challenge.
That's the fun of being out on the streets, college, campus, whatever. And so at different times, people have talked, oh, Ron, would you like to work more in the congregation? But people have said, no, Ron, you belong on the streets. You belong on the college campus.
Get out there on the street.
And so the radio, though, is the same thing, because in our cars, we still have the radios there, and people are flipping through the stations as they're going along. And so even people that don't know about Bagels and Blessings yet, they're in their car flipping through, and all of a sudden, there it is. Here we are. I'm out there with other people beside those who love Messiah and God and his word yet. And that's where God wants me to be. And so this is part of my life to just, you never know what you're going to get asked. And you got to be ready to respond and hopefully sound a little bit intelligent when it happens. And so the Bible, I remember when I lived in Binghamton, the Reform rabbi at that time, in his newsletter that he sent out to his congregation, someone used to give it to me after he read it, he said that the Jewish Bible is just folk tales. They're just tales written by our Jewish people, ancestors of ours. They're Jewish people, and they're just folktales like any other folktale. It's just stuff they wrote of their own imagination, free will, whatever. I didn't use maybe the word imagination, but it was just stuff that they wrote. And so, therefore, feel free to enjoy it like you would any other folktale, and that's it. Well, if that's the case, let's say there's a million people. Well, you've got a million different opinions about what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's better, what's worse. And if that's the case, it gets you nowhere. There's no truth. There has to be some sort of truth. I don't know why people have such a hard time with this concept of absolute truth. When I went to school, we took math, and we got a test every week or so. And they'd have a question like, how much is 2 plus 3? And if I wrote any other answer beside 5, they had the audacity to tell me I was wrong.
The knife.
How could they do such a thing? You're wrong. That's not correct. And all of a sudden now, no, you can't tell people they're wrong. Anything they want's right. Well, that's not what happens in school in math. Mm. And so we have this Bible. And one of the things I always think of is Josh McDowell wrote a book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And so if you're willing to think about this and explore this so that you can see some sound evidence and make an intellectual decision, a sound one, to know what it's right, he goes through. I remember reading the book. He said, archaeologists, not Christian or Jewish theologians, rabbis, pastors, and priests, when archaeologists are digging up things in the Middle East, they use the Bible. And because what they find is that if the Bible says that under this spot used to be the city, that city's there. They've never once, archaeologists have ever found anything to contradict the Bible, ever. This is archaeologists, not ministers, not rabbis. And they say it doesn't mean if you just dig a little bit, you're guaranteed to find it, because some stuff just disintegrated completely. Other stuff, it's further down. But whenever they find stuff in the Middle East, it confirms what's written in the Bible, never once contradicts it. And so archaeology confirms that this Bible is 100% accurate. And so the thing is, there is stuff tangibly we could prove like that. You find a coin that talks about King David, and it puts a time frame, a year to it, and then you look at the Bible, well, that's when he lived. So there's stuff like that we can actually prove. And if you see the consistency, faith is not, well, just I guess I'll accept it because I got nothing else to do, but you see consistently everything that could be tangibly, humanly proved has been proven correct, then it leads me to say this deserves the benefit of the doubt because of the reliability and the trustworthiness of this book we call the Bible.
Amen. That leads me right to my next question. People have said, well, you really can't prove that God is real. So, Rabbi Ron, how do you know that you know that you know that God is real?
Well, I haven't touched him yet, and that's true. But going along with this, here's his book. It's supernatural. Somehow this book is accurate. It is amazing how accurate the book is. And so there's something unique and special about this book. And so I just love it. And it just, there has to be something beyond human. And you see the book, and in that book, Evidence of Man's Verdict, tell you how many different books, how many different authors, and the different places in life. You have kings and farmers and shepherds and all this other stuff, and they all write throughout thousands of years of time frames, and somehow none of it contradicts anything else, and it also fits together to tell one and the same story, that God loves us and he wants us to be in relationship with him. And so you have that, and the New Covenant Scriptures especially talk about he's come to save, heal, and deliver the kingdom of God. And so I can't sit there and prove to you my sins are forgiven, because I haven't gone to everlasting life yet to prove that one to you. But there have been times in my body, I've been in physical pain, and people have prayed for me, and instantly at the spot, things that were wrong with my body immediately changed, instantly there. People that had, the world calls them addictions, the Bible calls it bondages. I think it's the same thing. It's the addiction. It's a bondage. You're in chains by that adversary, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is all of a sudden you pray and boom, the chains fall off. And someone like me, when I was a teenager, a young college person, I got talked into smoking marijuana. Oh, I lied to my parents when they confronted me a few times, yes. And then I come to faith. I just would smell the stuff, and it just like lured me in. And I just, there was nothing I could do about it. And then I become a believer in Yeshua, and I know he doesn't want me to do it. And I say, God, listen, you don't want me doing this. You don't want me messing with my body, harming it. And but the deal is, God, that I just smell it, and it like a chain. It draws me in, and there's nothing I can do. So if you don't want me to do this, you're going to have to do something because I'm incapable. I did homeless outreach. People are incapable. And so of changing. And so what happens is all of a sudden one day I get on the city bus in New York City, Rockaway Beach, Queens. I get on the bus, and just like any other day, someone lights up marijuana on the bus to smoke as they're driving, up, going about. And all of a sudden, this smell that used to lure me in and get me, it made me nauseous and sick to my stomach.
Praise God.
Right after I pray, I don't know if it was a day, a week later, and to this day, it makes me sick to my stomach where it used to just lure me in. Mm. Something changed inside of my body. It was nothing that medically or anything that happened. So I could see God changing things in my body and other people's bodies.
Praise God. Well, I have one more question for you. Jews, some Jews, not all, some Jews are still waiting for a Messiah, some Messiah anywhere, and they don't believe that Yeshua is the Messiah because they say the Messiah was supposed to come and bring peace to the world. And, you know, the whole thing about the wolf lying down with the lamb, or some say lion lie down with the lamb, and they say because that didn't happen yet that he couldn't possibly be the Messiah. What do you say?
That's one of the first questions the rabbi at USF Tampa asked me. And so where is this peace? Where is it? When the Messiah comes, he brings peace. And there's a few things that, are we going to have world peace right now? We have all these politicians working so hard. Every president, I'm going to bring peace to the Middle East. It only gets worse. Mankind is not interested in befriending their neighbors and letting them be. There's a hatred that just goes beyond reason out there. And so world peace has got to be something that God has to do. But, you know, it's amazing that even though we live in this crazy world, somehow I've got peace in my heart. God's brought me shalom, wholeness of my mind. And so one is he's brought me peace, that despite all that's going around me, I can relax usually. And I'm human, and at moments I make a mistake and I don't let God be God. And so, but when I do let God be God, this supernatural shalom, my mind is whole, it's complete, and it's at peace. And so I do have that. I got a taste of that. But also, you see, the Bible is like a puzzle, is what I tell people. And in order to see the accurate picture, you got to put all the pieces together. So you can't just look at one piece and say, this is it. You have to put it all together, and then you get the whole picture, and now you can actually figure things out. And so it tells you peace, but it also tells you, Isaiah 53 and other passages, that the Messiah first comes and dies to provide atonement for our sins. Daniel, the prophet, tells us then there'll be a period of time after he dies and atones for a sin, the temple is destroyed in Jerusalem. The temple was destroyed in 70. Whoever the Jewish Messiah is, he had to already come in the past. You can't look in the future for a Messiah. You can only look backwards before the year 70 for a Jewish Messiah. And then there's a period of times, and then it talks about wars and desolations. It sounds like the world we live in today. And then finally, the Messiah returns. And then he brings the world peace that only he's capable of and no human leader is. So you've got to read the whole Bible. You can't just read one book, one chapter, or one verse and say, see, here it is. The lion or the wolf lays down with the lamb. He brings us peace. Read it all and see that after all this happens, finally, then, in the end of times, will come the peace that we're all looking forward to. But don't just sit around and wait for that world peace. Today, you can have peace in your heart. And if you'll call us, if you'll email us, we will help you to experience that peace. We'll sit down with you face to face if you're here in Rochester, or if you're in Tampa, Florida, then I could do that for you there. And if not, we'll connect you with someone to help you get that.
Perfect, because that leads right into this question. If people want to contact you further and be connected with your ministry, what is the best way to do that?
Right now, still the best way is Facebook. We are going to work on a website for the future, but on the Facebook there, facebook.com/NerTamid. That is NERTAMID.
So that's N like Nancy, ER, T like Tom, A-M like mother, I-D like David.
That's right. And if you go facebook.com/NerTamid, that's my Facebook page, and it has got contact information, emails. You can get in touch with me, and I can help you. You can find out. I get on the radio down in Tampa. Ethel's been encouraging me for years, and it's happened. And so you'll find out everything you need to know or could know or don't want to know about me there.
That's right. You're on a Spanish radio station.
Spanish radio station. And yo no hablo español. Un poquito. That's it. You've exhausted
no
my
entiendo.
Spanish. And so my good friend Sam Santiago translates for me. And so we actually are the only bilingual show. Everything else is pure Spanish, but we're bilingual thanks to me.
I'm so glad you're on the radio because you have the voice. I'm telling you.
We are the voice of the Messiah, the radio show.
That's great. You're going to be speaking in Rochester somewhere tomorrow. Do you know the name of the place?
Tomorrow I'll be back in Port Crane, New York.
Or Port Crane, New York.
Yep. So tonight in a small home church in Oneonta, New York, Family Worship Center. And then tomorrow, Sunday, I will be in Port Crane, Christian Missionary and Alliance Sharing. And so those are the opportunities here. But on the radio, you go to the Facebook page, you'll see about the radio place, and that radio station has the blog, so you can listen to other shows and hear more teachings, or Ethel's old podcast.
There you go.
That has some information of me and other great people that you'll want to hear.
I am so proud of you. I know that when the final day comes and you meet the Lord face to face, He is definitely going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because I am just so very proud of you. I think that you just are really walking in the calling that God has for your life. And I'm just so excited to see how God is using you. And I just pray God's blessing over you and your beautiful family. Oh, in the name of Yeshua, thank you, thank you, thank you for once again being my guest. Promise me you will come back on the air again next time you're in town.
Every time I'm in town, I'll look for you.
All right, great. Wow, this is Ethel Chadwick, and this has been my interview with the famous, wonderful, sweet man of God, Messianic Rabbi Ron Goldberg. And now it is time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Yager Adonai panavalecha vikunecha Yisa Adonai panavalecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom in the name of the Prince of Peace.
Thank you, Rabbi Ron. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, my friends, that every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Next week, an exclusive music, an interview with Misha Goetz. You heard a little taste of her music today. Next week, it's all Misha Goetz music and an interview I did with her a couple of weeks ago. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. Shabbat Shalom.
Blessings is sponsored by Ethel Chadwick.
Gain strength for your daily life on Life AM 990.